Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, through the very Word of God, the Holy Ghost wants to encourage our hearts to be confident in prayer, to speak to our Lord God, and to ask in the name of Jesus for all that we need and for all that our friends, our loved ones, and our neighbors need, that we may confidently pray to God. But we wrestle with the flesh. Every one of us, to one degree or another, is reluctant about prayer. Now, sometimes that reluctance expresses itself in this way. We say, I'm not worthy that God should hear my prayers and that He should grant what I ask. I'm not worthy. And that sounds humble, but really what it is, it's doubt and unbelief masquerading as a false humility. Of course you're not worthy. That should not be news to anybody. You don't deserve to have God's ear. You don't deserve to have His command and promise to pray. But don't let that stop you, because the invitation extends to unworthy sinners. It is just precisely those who realize their unworthiness who are most prepared to pray. None of us can ever deserve to be heard. None of us can ever work our way into such a spiritual state that we feel that it goes without saying that my prayers deserve a hearing. Whenever we open our mouth to God in prayer, we do so with the firm understanding that we are not worthy, but that God in Christ invites the unworthy to have confidence in His promises. So, you may feel unworthy, but don't let that unworthiness stop you from praying. It should move you even more to pray based on the command and promise of God. But whatever you do, don't give in to that kind of false piety. I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. As if Jesus hasn't paid fully for your sins. The other reluctance that we have to pray is a little bit more serious. And that is, sometimes it enters into our mind when we feel that we should pray. The thought comes into our mind, what good will it do? What good will it do? And by that, what we are implying, right? What we're implying is that, A, God probably doesn't hear my prayers, and B, He's not going to do what I ask Him to do, even if He does hear me. Now this struggle, this reluctance, and this doubt is specifically addressed by Jesus in our text today. He says, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. And then He says, ask. Let me not get ahead of myself. So here's what we are to be hearing so far. God commands and promises with regard to prayer, because He wants us to take it to the Lord in prayer. He wants us to pray and to expect an answer from Him. All right? What's the basis of this? Number one, Christ has effected a true and full reconciliation between God and sinners. All right? It says this, "In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Now, what Jesus is talking about here is this. He came into the world on a mission. And now that his mission is accomplished, he leaves the world and returns to the Father. What was and is that mission? The mission of Jesus is to effect full reconciliation between sinners and God. That means that by Jesus' obedience and by his suffering and death on the cross, he has reconciled us to God. The law that we have broken, he has kept perfectly, and he's done so on our behalf. You know, Jesus wasn't up in heaven with the Father and the Holy Ghost getting bored and, you know, I need to have something to do. So I'm going to go down into the world and I'm going to go through a program of radical obedience, you know, just to kind of keep my chops up, I guess, you know. Listen, Jesus didn't need to do any of this for himself. Everything he came into the world to be and to do, he did for us. His obedience to God's law, his perfect obedience to the law was on our behalf. And when we believe in him, his righteousness is credited to our account by faith and by faith alone. And then, not only did Jesus obey the law perfectly for us, but Jesus also suffered the penalty of sin on our behalf. He took upon his own body our sins, and he paid the full price for them. He gave his shed blood and death as the ransom for our sins, and thus he has paid our account in full, and we are reconciled and brought back to the Lord. I have two brief verses of scripture to share with you about this. The first is in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Now listen to this. Paul is making his argument about being justified by faith. And he says this, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see that? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But he goes on. He says this, "By whom," that is by Jesus, "also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand." You hear that? We are justified by faith. That means we have peace with God through Christ. And it further means that by faith we have access to God's grace. That is, when we fold our hands and say, "Dear Father in heaven," his ear always hears our prayer. And He always promises not only to listen, but to answer our prayers. One more Bible verse that I want to share with you before we get back to our text. And that's from the Epistle to the Hebrews. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, we read these words. If I ever get there. Okay, here we are. All right. He's just made the case that Jesus is our great high priest who has offered His own blood in the heavenly sanctuary once and for all for our redemption. Okay? He has said this, and He says this. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. We've got it made. Don't screw it up. Don't mess it up. Don't lose it. We've got it made. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, Jesus knows what you're going through. The living Lord who sits at the right hand of God and who has promised you, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He came into this world, lived in His state of humiliation, and knows what it's like to be a human being. He knows what it's like to be weakened. He knows what it's like to suffer temptation. The only thing that He doesn't identify with us in is that He did not sin. He was tempted like we are in all points, yet without sin. All right, so Jesus knows. He knows your needs. He knows your struggles. He knows your wrestlings and your doubts. He knows what's going on, but He knows it with a deep desire to be gracious and merciful to you. That's why He came and died for you on the cross. So, now here's the punchline for this verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see that? Since we have this great high priest, since He has paid the full price, since our redemption is finished, and since He knows our needs and He knows what it's like to be us, let's not hesitate. Let's approach boldly the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, how is it that we deal with our reluctance to pray? First of all, by realizing that the Lord Jesus has effected for us a full reconciliation between God and sinners. So the door of God's heart is open to you. Now, the last thing I want to say today is this. Jesus says, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Right. Now, what does that sound like? It sounds to me like a promise, doesn't it? Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He shall give it you. And as if that wasn't enough, He says, in verse 24, He says, ask with an exclamation point. That's a commandment. Ask. And ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. All right? Ask, and ye shall receive. Now, those of you who have been recently confirmed When you studied the catechism with me, you remember we talked about the two things that should move us to pray. Number one, God's command, and number two, His promise to hear and answer our prayers. These two things should move us to pray. Right? What does that mean? It means that when God issues a commandment, He's telling you what He wants you to do. So you should not think to yourself, God doesn't want to hear from me. God's not interested in my problems. God's got bigger things on His mind than to be paying attention to me and my piddly little problems. No! He commands you to pray. Therefore, prayerlessness is disobedience to the revealed will of God. Ask, the Bible says. Ask, it's a commandment. It's the law. It's an exclamation point. Ask. And then secondly, and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. So the same Jesus who has effected a real reconciliation between God and sinners, He says to those who believe in Him, you are commanded to pray, and you are promised that your prayers will be heard and answered. So therefore, we ought to be people of prayer. And I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but prayer must be a simple and straightforward thing. You know, people think that they got to get eloquent. They think that they got to use fancy language. Right? They think that they got to make it ornate and make it sound like it's holy language so that God will be moved to listen. No, listen. You hear that someone is sick and that your prayers have been requested. If you say simply this, Dear Father, let your healing and your blessing be upon my friend who is sick. That's it. Or even, Dear Lord, heal Frank. Amen. Right? Something as simple as that. A prayer that is prayed briefly and with attention and faith is heard, and you have prayed. You don't have to drag it out. All right? You don't have to make it ornate. You don't have to dress it up even in King James language. You can just say it out. All right? You see a need. You say, Father, help us. Amen. There's prayer. All right? That's prayer. All right? Anyway, so today, that we may confidently pray to God as His dear children, to not listen when that thought comes into our minds, I'm not worthy. Of course you're not. But don't let that stop you. And that other thought, what good would it do? It'll do good because God promised to hear and answer your prayers. And Jesus is your Redeemer who will take you to be with Him in eternal life in the kingdom of glory. So yes, your prayers will do good. All right, what good will it do? Pray and see what happens. All right, don't let these reluctances that you feel inside keep you from the blessing of the gift of prayer. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.